Grace, joy, and peace be yours today through Jesus Christ, your Savior. We read from His Word this morning from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Our sermon text contains verses 25 through 35. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. These are God's words for us to consider and study this morning. One of the best parts of the Christmas season is watching the Christmas TV shows and movies. I'm sure everyone has their own peculiar favorites. You can hardly make it through the Christmas season without seeing advertisements for some of them on TV, and probably without watching a few of them yourself as well. Hopefully this Christmas time you had a little bit of time to see your favorite TV show or favorite Christmas movie. Our family, we were able to enjoy a few in the last week. And the thing that I noticed with Christmas movies is that no matter which one you watch, the characters are different, the story might be a little bit different, but many of them come down to really the same themes. Many Christmas TV shows and movies seek to bring the audience back into a deeper meaning of Christmas. And oftentimes this deeper connection with Christmas is contingent on the person believing something. The three main thoughts of our text today, Spirit, blessing, and destiny, are gifts from God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Gifts that Simeon talked about in his life upon witnessing Jesus as a child. But they're also gifts that come to us through the Christmas story about Jesus and when we remember what He has done for us. But interesting also is the fact that these gifts, Spirit, blessing, and destiny, are really themes among the secular nature of Christmas as well. There are themes and gifts that pop up in Christmas movies and TV shows all the time. The three Christmas movies that we watched this year were Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, The Polar Express, and Elf. And even though each of those movies is vastly different in the plot itself, they all kind of came back to those same types of gifts that come through Christmas. You know the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, that he was rejected because of his nose, but because of his joy in Christmas, he was able to fly. The movie Elf is kind of a comedy and kind of plays on a lot of the funny themes about Christmas that we like to make light of. But at the end, it has a somewhat serious message of believing in the deeper meaning of Christmas. And I don't know if you're familiar with the movie Polar Express, but it's about three little children who get to go to the North Pole and see Santa and his elves. And for one little boy in particular, he can't enjoy what he sees until he believes. There is a certain way that the secular world views these gifts of Spirit in Christmas and blessing in Christmas and destiny around Christmas. And these things aren't bad. It's not wrong to watch these movies and to enjoy them around the Christmas season. But the point that we see from the Holy Spirit in our text today is that in connection with Jesus, in connection with the one who was born on Christmas, these gifts from God take on an entirely different meaning for our lives. Here we see these themes not connected to the secular themes of Christmas, but connected to God's own Son. It's fitting that Simeon would be the one through whom God speaks about these gifts, because Simeon was a unique individual himself. We're not told anything else about him in the Scriptures other than these few verses from Luke chapter 2. We're not told why the Holy Spirit gave him this special revelation that he would not die until he saw Christ. We're simply told about it. And the first thing that we see from Simeon's proclamation is that the true spirit of Christmas is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the one who gave Simeon that special message. The Holy Spirit was the one who led Simeon to the temple that day. The Holy Spirit was the one who led Simeon to offer up his praise to Jesus, that child. Again, we're not told why God did these things in his life. We're not told all the details about what happened and why it happened. All we know is that God had a plan, and he used his servant Simeon to accomplish that plan. The spirit of Christmas that many people in the world talk about this time of year involves more human emotion and feeling than it does God's work and will. There could be the literal Christmas spirits of a story like the Christmas Carol, or there could be the metaphorical Christmas spirits of desires and emotions in our heart. Either way, Simeon reminds us that Christmas is ultimately about the work of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who led him. It was the Holy Spirit who revealed the truth to him. It was the Holy Spirit who kept Simeon's faith and hope in the coming Messiah. The hope that Simeon expressed is found in that phrase of our text, what we're told he was waiting for, the consolation of Israel. The word consolation does not mean a second-tier prize, as we sometimes use it in our culture, but what it means is comfort. Simeon was waiting for the comfort of Israel, the comfort that God had promised in the Old Testament. Last week, we considered how God prophesied of that comfort in Jesus through Isaiah in chapter 40, where he said, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." Perhaps that was one of the sections of the Old Testament that Simeon had on his mind and his heart as he waited for God to fulfill this promise to him. The word comfort, as we recognize it from Simeon's expression and as we understand it from our faith today, connects us to the believers of the Old Testament. The hope that we have in Jesus, the spirit of Christmas, is not some generic hope or spirit that really can't be defined by anyone. No, rather, it's specific. It's delivered to us in God's Word by the author of that Word, the Holy Spirit. That just as the Holy Spirit led Simeon and guided Simeon in his faith and kept him focused on Christ, so our understanding and our hope is that the Holy Spirit can do the same in our lives. It was also the Holy Spirit that led Simeon then to proclaim the second gift of Christmas, the blessing. One of the reasons that God led Simeon to find Mary, Joseph, and Jesus that day was to bless them. Verse 34 tells us that Simeon raised up his voice and blessed them. And in connection with faith, the blessing of our Savior indicates happiness. It indicates joy. Think of the Beatitudes of Jesus as an example of that. The Beatitudes that came in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus lists a number of different qualities, and at the very beginning of each of them, he says, "Blessed are those who display that. Blessed are those who display that." What Jesus is saying by that word is, happy are those who have that attitude, who have that virtue by faith. Their lives are content. Their lives are fulfilled. They have purpose and meaning from God. Not in a sense where they're getting what they desire or they're receiving physical pleasure, but they have an intrinsic happiness, an intrinsic joy that can only come from the Holy Spirit by faith. Simeon's blessing to Mary, Joseph, and Jesus was not about his achievement by faith. It was not about the abilities of Mary and Joseph as parents of Jesus. It was about God's accomplishment. This was further shown by the fact that Simeon not only blessed them, but he blessed God as well. In verse 28, we're told that Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and looked upon the child and blessed God for this gift. It's a humble reminder in our lives that the true blessing of Christmas, as it's found in Jesus, is not about our accomplishment. It's not about in ourselves being declared worthy of our own works or merits before God. It's not about us being shown to be more virtuous than other people as deserving and receiving God's gifts by faith. The blessing that we cherish around Christmas is about God's accomplishment for us. Not necessarily the fulfillment of holding the baby ourselves, but the understanding and trust of knowing exactly who that child is and what he would go on to accomplish for us. Blessings derived from faith in Jesus find their power in Jesus himself. And that goes above and beyond any blessing we can offer to one another in a Christmas sense. We might use the term blessing around this time of year to show that we want feelings of goodwill and peace to be upon a person's life. But how much more powerful that can be when it's not just coming from ourselves, but it's coming from Jesus himself. It's not difficult in our text to see the profound effect that God's blessing in Christ had upon Simeon himself. He granted Simeon gifts that he could not attain on his own. His song says it best, "Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." That's the blessing that Simeon had by faith in Jesus Christ. And what a great gift we can offer one another and the world around us, not just by blessing them with tidings of goodwill to the world around Christmas, but offering the blessing of seeing salvation through Jesus Christ according to God's word, just as Simeon had in his life. And the final aspect of Simeon's proclamation helps us see why the blessing of Christ is so powerful and effective in our lives. It's the thought of destiny. Destiny is another big theme around Christmas. Probably because Christmas is so close in proximity to the new year. It's natural for us around this time of year to think about new thoughts, to think about starting new again and thinking long term about what we want to make with our lives and what we want to go on to do in the year ahead. For many people, Christmas is sort of a time of renewal in that sense of washing away some of the bad memories of the past year and starting fresh and new. Christmas also offers us a time for self-reflection in our lives and in our hearts as believers. And anytime we do that, the idea of destiny will be right upon our hearts. Some of our Christmas hymns reflect this reality as well. Verse 1 of O Little Town of Bethlehem, that familiar hymn that we sang this past week. Verse 1 ends by saying, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." That's talking about destiny. That's talking about the conglomeration of all of people's feelings and thoughts of the year ahead are found and expressed in Jesus Christ. And so Simeon, in his song, brings that gift of God to mind, brings the gift of destiny to Mary's heart. He says specifically to Mary, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against, Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. God's gift of destiny for the believer is one that is probably most misunderstood around the time of Christmas. Destiny in human terms around Christmas focuses on our dreams, our aspirations, our goals, our accomplishments. Much like Christmas spirit, these aren't bad things. But what God tells us is that as Christians, we set up a dangerous scenario for ourselves. If our understanding of destiny from Jesus is only centered on what we do and on what we accomplish. God wants us to have goals and desires. He wants us to think long term. He even tells us he wants us to work for these things here on earth. It's one of the reasons he created us. But our destiny as a believer is more than just what happens to us here on earth. And it's about much more than what we can plan or achieve for ourselves in our lives. Destiny through Jesus Christ, the gift that he gives us, is about our meaning and purpose as his followers. The word itself from God reaches beyond our lives to heaven. And so God beckons us not just to think about what might we want to do in the year ahead, what might we want to make for ourselves in our lives here on this earth, what might we want to accomplish as we reach the end of our lives. God beckons us to look beyond that, because what he offers us through his Son is beyond that. The danger of thinking about our destiny only is it takes this tremendous gift from Jesus Christ that is bound up in heaven and brings it back down to our reality alone. And so when Simeon speaks about the destiny of Christmas, we shouldn't be surprised that once again we see the work of our Savior. It was what Jesus was destined to do that gives us hope of looking to heaven. The idea for destined in the word that Simeon used here is to be appointed for a specific purpose. And so he tells Mary, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many. The specific purpose that Jesus had in this world was just as unique as the very individual that the Holy Spirit revealed it to here in our text. Contrary to what many people thought about Jesus, he would not come to set up and establish an earthly kingdom as God, but he came to subject himself in humility and lowliness. He came to suffer the fate that we earned through our transgressions under God's law. That is what Jesus was appointed to. That is the destiny that he fulfilled. And that is why, as Simeon said to Mary, it would pierce her own soul like a sword. Ultimately, all the world finds themselves on one side of that division, that same division that so sharply pierced Mary's own heart. Either Jesus is the Savior who suffered and died for the sins of the world, or he's just a good person. Simeon proclaimed that that was the reality that no one could escape. All the world finds themselves on one side of that division. But for Mary in particular, she would watch Jesus die on the cross. She would witness the world around her reject her son in his chosen calling from God. She would see with her own eyes as the noonday sun was blotted out by complete darkness as Jesus hung upon the cross. She would feel the earth tremble and heave under the divine judgment of God over the sins of the world. And indeed, it would cut to her soul like a sword. We certainly feel those same emotions from time to time when we think about what Jesus came to do for us, when we consider the unique destiny that God appointed him to as our Redeemer and Savior. Perhaps not as emotionally as Mary did. Perhaps not as deep-rooted as Mary did. But like Simeon said, this unique purpose of Jesus would ultimately reveal the hearts of all people. Simeon declared that our destiny is attached to our Savior's destiny. That our true purpose as Christians is not to find meaning and fulfillment in our own self-expression or in what we want to do in our lives or what we accumulate for our lives. But true purpose and meaning for us as Christians is found in trusting Jesus and what he did for us. Recognizing that he is the unique Savior from sin who suffered and died in our place. What results from that is the very thing that Simeon hoped for, the comfort of Israel, the comfort of our God. We listen to the Holy Spirit as he imparts truth through his word as the true spirit of Christmas. We believe that God's blessings are greatest in the good news of forgiveness through his son Jesus. And we believe and trust that our destiny as believers is not about the world around us and not about what we desire for today, but rather it's about what Jesus came to do for us. When we look at these unique gifts that God offers us through Christmas, when we see them in light of what Jesus has done for us, then we have the very thing that Simeon did, the comfort of God. We don't have to have a special promise from God that will hold baby Jesus in our arms. We don't have to have personal and direct revelations and promises by the Holy Spirit as Simeon did. We have Jesus in his word. We can sing the same song. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. What an amazing gift and promise is given to us this Christmas and every day in Jesus our Savior. Amen. Please rise.